So Jude chapter 1, if you can turn up there real quick. I just have a few points to make. Bring that back to the step trip and we'll be done. Jude chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "And some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hated even the garment spotted of the flesh." You know, in my estimation, one of the biggest sins of the modern church, and I'm not trying to sit in here and bash the modern church because there are some good things that get done. Obviously, I believe we're in one right now. There are good churches out there. But in general, the churches today, I believe that one of the biggest sins of the church today would be something that in and of itself many of us wouldn't think of as a sin, and that is the sin of silence. And some people might be asking, what do you mean silence? When I say that, I'm talking about in the context of failing to share the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to this broken, bleeding, dying world outside. And to be honest, that's why the church exists. That's why you and I exist. That's why the Lord gave us the Great Commission. That's what we're here for. We are here to see souls saved. And to be honest, that is the main reason that we go on the missions trip every summer. Now, when I tell them, some, as you can tell, they go a little rogue. But what I tell them, when I give them the outline of what I want them to do for their testimony up here, it is, this is, my name is whatever, this is the my whatever amount step trip, my first, my third, my fifth, my whatever step trip. This was my favorite activity we did, this is how God blessed me. The main thing that we are there to do is to see souls saved while we are there through that Vacation Bible School. The exact same reason we do Vacation Bible School here. It is not primarily, when we do VBS here, I've said it many times, it is not primarily a daycare service, nor is it primarily just for kids to have fun. Although I hope that they do have fun while they're here, because otherwise I just will guarantee you they're not coming back. Except for in this church, you'll just make your kids come back, I'm sure, but maybe not if they weren't having fun. But in the churches that we go to on step trip, it is to see souls saved. It is not to provide a free daycare service. It is not to let the kids there have fun or to make them like us or to leave some lasting impression of Heritage Baptist Church long after we're gone. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the God that we serve and the command that He has given us to see souls saved in this world. That is why we are there. So everything that we do while we are there has to be built around that. And there are reasons why we do that. You know, when we went to Virginia, Minnesota, I didn't know what to expect. I'd never been there before. I didn't know anything necessarily about the area, except the same thing as Kim Olson told me, which was statistically it's a pretty bad area. Median income is very low. You know, the bad parts of that town are very bad. When you go there, I think for some people who live around this area, I would say that if you are going to relate it to something, if you go into the little bit worse parts of South Beloit, or definitely the bad parts of Beloit, Wisconsin, that would be the equivalent. Pastor talked about there was somebody who was killed not far from the church during a church service while it was going on. Somebody across the street, and there were cops there, and he told us the first night there, which these were all things that I had to handle with our teens very carefully because our teens obviously don't go to places like that on a daily basis. On the first night there, he pulled me aside. He's like, "Look, I would suggest that nobody go outside after dark, definitely not alone." He's like, "That's when bad things happen around here." And those kind of things, okay, just in and of itself right there, those kind of things can wear on a person, right? Especially a person who maybe that gives them a little bit of angst because they haven't been in that situation before. I would say like 99.9, I'm just going to say 100% of our teenagers, right, have never been in that sort of an environment before. So already you've got this angst. So already you have Satan putting up a little bit of a if you take it back to our Vacation Bible School, a little bit of a fiery dart that can be utilized against you to think, well, maybe this isn't where I should be at this moment. So then you go into the church. So I would say their auditorium is probably a quarter of the size of ours, and that's where the girls slept. Their whole basement is probably the size of our fellowship hall. That's where we eat. That's where we ate. That's where we had tables set up to where we, you know, relaxed and played games or whatever. That's also where the boys slept. That's also where we did most of Vacation Bible School was down there. And that was about the size of the fellowship hall. So we were packed in there. So in that area, right, imagine that now. So in that area, there is in the church one bathroom that is the size of probably, if anyone's ever opened, probably most of you might not have, that the closet where the mop bucket is, where we have like the router, the bathroom was that big. So it was big enough to where you could go in there, and if a girl had to like sit on the toilet, it was hard to shut the door, right? You had to like get your body this way to shut the door. There was no sink. There was nothing in the bathroom, so you had to brush your teeth and everything like that in the kitchen, right? So you have 13 people, one tiny bathroom. The shower is next door in the parsonage, in the pastor's house. So you have to go over there in groups, right? So there comes in the angst because you all can't shower in the morning. So some people have to go over there at night, but you have to go over there in groups, right? You add on to that when you start seeing things like a cockroach here and there, right? Which we did in the pastor's house and in the parsonage. That place was built in 1915, and he said that there are probably still fixtures in there from 1915. And that place has not had much updating since then. And you can tell. And I would say some of that probably hasn't been cleaned since 1915. Just ask Kim Olson. She'll tell you. Her and I were talking about it a lot that day. So again, I give you that picture because you have all of that going on and you've got 13 people living in that space who are tired every day, who are hot when they're outside. Now luckily it had air conditioning and that just got put in, right? Now Nicole and I have stayed in places where I don't know where Nicole is, but Nicole and I have stayed in places where it's about like that, not the same environment as far as like some of the critters and things like that, but where there was no air conditioning. Adam was like that on the last step trip when we went to Harbor Springs. That was miserable at night when you're trying to sleep. At least that had air conditioning, so we were cool once we were inside because there were a few days that got hot there. But all of that and you're tired, that is an environment where annoyance could be short, where tempers could be high. Where who ate my cookies? Who drank my pop? Who took my batteries? Who did this, right? Who did that? And those are situations that sometimes do happen on step trips. To Courtney's point when she was talking up here, the thing that amazes me all the time, and this is a testament to you, the Heritage Baptist Church family, it is how you have raised your children, and how you've raised them to be servants no matter what the situation. Because I'm just knowing them like I do, they are not all brave at heart. They are not all I'm going to come out of my comfort zone people at heart. So when I push them to do that, and they don't push back on me for that, and then they stand up here and tell you how great and rewarding the trip was, that is something that will help them for the rest of their life to then do it again later, but hopefully then do it on their own, right? And that gets us, I guess, to our point that we want to look at here, and that is, why is it so important? Why is it so important that we go on mission trips, that we do VBS here, that we support missionaries, that we feel as though spreading the gospel, evangelism, however you want to umbrella this, why is it so important? Why is the endeavor of bringing individuals to Jesus Christ so absolutely important in our society today? Well, first and foremost, it's because Jesus Christ was our supreme example of that. Jesus did not solely come to be a great teacher, a great healer. He was those things. He absolutely was those things. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is to come and seek and save that which was lost. That which was lost. It was for this reason that He left the glories of heaven, suffered the agonies on the cross. That is why He was here. He gave His all for one reason, and that is to seek and to save that which was lost. He is our example. It's our supreme duty. The command is to see all is to go out to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Go ye therefore. This is not a request. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. It's a command to all of us. So yes, do the teens and myself and whatever sponsors I take, do we get to go out? Do we get to do it every summer? Absolutely. But you get to do it every time, hopefully, you go to Walmart. You get to do it every time you get your hair cut. You get to do it every time you go to work. Every time you go to a family reunion. And we do that because the soul is of supreme worth. It was Jesus who said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Now that's at the heart of the matter that I'm talking about here tonight. A soul has more worth than the entire world. It's worth more than every ruby, diamond, emerald, all the gold, all the silver, all the homes, all the boats, all the stocks, all the bonds, all the automobiles. It's worth more than all that, and it's worth more than all of that combined. A soul is made in the image of God. Brother Ewan talked about that this morning. A soul that is going to live on for eternity. It's going to live for eternity somewhere long after the things of this world are gone. One soul is worth more than all of the things that this world can pile up for us. A soul is of supreme value. And if the Lord would have one of us in here to just bring one soul to Him, just think about then what that means. We should never take that lightly. We should never forget how important that is. We should never forget how much that is worth, how much that is important to the Lord. Just one is worth more than everything you can think of that this world could give you, piled up into one big pile, one soul. We saw five at Vacation Bible School on this step trip. Five. Five infinite worths on one step trip. Now, if you think about it in those terms, the cost that you spent sending your kids to Vacation Bible School parents is minuscule. The amount that this church spent on the sponsors and on the gas for the bus to get up there is minuscule. Right? And yet, sadly, as we look at the state of some churches today, it's rough because some churches are not out soul winning. And, if I'm being honest, like the church we were just at, some churches are just dying. They're just dying. And I can just tell you from experience, and my wife can tell you the same thing, as we've been going around on this, you know, deputation, right? And we've been going around to these different churches trying to raise support. A lot of the churches that we are going to, they may not have five people, but they're really close. And these are churches that are in the AIBCI that we count as churches, and they are hanging on by this much. Now, look, God handles all of that, and God knows. And I hope, obviously, and I'm praying that God doesn't have any of these churches go under and whatever, and He knows all that. If He does, it's His will. I get that. But if you look at it today and you're going into these churches and you see that the guy's got eight people and he's a little bit discouraged and you go to lunch with him and his wife and he's talking about how difficult it is and how sometimes it's like, man, I don't know what's going on here. What am I doing anything wrong? It's tough. Your main concern then is not always soul winning. Your main concern is, hey, how do I get fannies in the seats so I can keep the lights on? Right? And that's sad that we have churches today that is their main concern. How can I keep the lights on? Not how can I go out there and win more people for Jesus Christ. It's tough. But we have to have compassion. The word compassion is made up of two words, the Latin com, which is with, and the word passion, which is to suffer. So it's literally for you to suffer with that person. And that is what I saw in our teams. You know, it's funny. Every single teen came up here and talked about, and I'm sure if you would have talked to some of them who didn't come up here, they would have said the same thing. A lot of them said that the kids changed from day one to day four. But from my perspective, our teens changed from day one to day four. Right? And it wasn't that they changed their standard. Well, some of it was, like me telling them, like, look, the kids, they can sit where they want. Right? They don't have to sit middles, littles, bigs. It's not like ours where they file in, do whatever you tell them to. Like, if a little wants to sit with their sisters in the bigs, you let them sit with their sisters in the bigs. If she then needs to stand up because she can't see, you let her stand up. Right? Because otherwise she's going to start crawling under the pews and whatever. That's where the chaos ensued day one. Because we were handling it like our, and I don't know if you remember when I talk about sometimes, and I go around to every church when I'm on deputation, for example, for Crystal Lake, and I talk to them about, I can't treat the people of Crystal Lake the same as the people of Roscoe. And when we talk about that, it's like, oh yeah, so we got a bunch of middle-class people, and we got a bunch of middle-class people, but they're not the same, and yeah, sure, sure. But then when you're talking about, yeah, so we go from here, right, to where, I'm just going to be honest, no one looks like you there. Right? Like, they are not from the same house, they are not from the same community, they don't have the same background, they are not the same demographic, they are not the same race, they are not the same anything as you there. So when our team saw that group, that bus, me take that first bus of kids, the doors open, here come all these kids that are nothing like they've ever seen at a VBS before. And what are they telling them? Well, so you had one girl, I remember day one, she's telling me that she's a gangster, that she's a savage, and that if we keep telling her what to do, she's going to burn the place down. Right? You got other ones telling you how stupid it is that they're even there, that the puppets are stupid, that the skits are stupid, that you're stupid, you can't tell them what to do, I don't have to listen to you. And I'm going around and I'm helping the kids because most of them are like, Pastor Allen, I need you over here. I need you over here. I need you over here, right? And their eyes are like this, right? And so after day one, it was great. Adam talked to the teens a little bit, which is great. And I talked to the teens too after day one. And I told them, I was like, look, this has always been my job at VBS. I've just never had to do it before. You've never seen me have to do my job at VBS. This is my job. This is why I'm here. I'm not just a pretty face, right? It's my job so that you can make sure that the other kids aren't running off. You have me take the one kid that's crawling under the pew, right? And I give them to Mrs. Olson, or I give them to Will, or I give them to Courtney, and then, you know, that's how they go. But day one, they thought, well, I'll just handle this like we handle our kids. So you got Madeline one time. You got Madeline, she has one kid in this arm, one kid in this arm, the kid's crawling over here, and she's trying to get this other kid with her foot. And Courtney was in the row with her, and Courtney was with these two kids who were sitting very, very good. I don't know if you remember, Courtney when I was like, Courtney, Courtney. And Courtney was just zoned in on the puppets with these kids. And Madeline's over here like, eh. I'm like, take one of those kids, right? That's just how it was, right? So what did we have to do? We had to adapt. We had to shorten up the preaching time. I couldn't wax poetically to six-year-olds like I normally do, right? I had to shorten everything up. I noticed that the puppet people were shorting up puppets, right? We had to make sure that everything was loud enough that they could hear. We had to make sure that their time trying to get them to sit down was very short. We had to make sure that whenever they were done in teaching time, when they're done, they are done. Then you take them outside and you have them play a game until it's time for the next rotation. Which otherwise, they're going to break all the pencils, they're going to throw everything down, they're going to try and run out of the building, they're going to break something in the bathroom. That's just what it was, right? But it's our kids who adapted because they had adaptability in that function, right? They had compassion on the kids that they saw, because they could have just said, look, call my mom, I'm going home. Literally. And they could have been like, I'm not doing this anymore. But that very first night, I didn't see any single one of those teenagers say, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore. Every single one of them said, okay, this is what we can do tomorrow to do it, because they had compassion, knowing that these were unsaved kids. Because of you in this church have consistently told them that there are, to see them not as these young, horrible black kids from the ghetto, You taught them that they are souls of infinite worth that need to get saved. That's how they saw them. That's how they saw them. And that goes for anything. And I hope that it goes as they go throughout their lives. That as they see Buddhists, as they see Muslims, as they see Catholics, as they see whatever. Insert your demographic here. If you see those people that you are normally not talking to, that you are not afraid to talk to them just because they are different. It's not just the children of Baptists that need to get saved in this world. Everybody needs to get saved. And it's God uses human instruments to do it. We are those instruments. And we should be thanking Him that He'll give us the opportunity every once in a while to go to places like this. Yeah, is it cool to go to Ron Davidson's church Camp Douglas, there you go. In Camp Douglas, and you got a couple of farm kids, is it cool that you go there? Is it great that you can do other things and the kids will listen to you just like they do ours? Yes. That is great because you're still seeing souls saved and you're being a blessing to that church. But isn't it even better that every once in a while God lets you see this little snippet of how there are other places in the world, how people are struggling, and how you could perhaps get used one day in your life? That is just outstanding. And just the fact that God, and I told Adam this that night when he told me, it has still stuck with me ever since that day how intricately wonderful God is to Adam Olson, that he, in the midst of everything that was going on, saw to bless Adam Olson with that just sliver of, look, this is what you've been thinking about since 2007. Here's a little nugget for you to see that how great I am. Isn't that awesome? Like that, just saying it just now gave me chills again. And I was getting chills every time Adam and I would talk about it on the trip. Like I didn't know it when Pastor Williamson was talking about it in the service. I could see Adam like listening very intently, but he's a sponsor, so I expect him to listen intently, obviously. But then when he said that afterwards, I was like, man, how awesome is that for you that God saw fit to allow you that blessing while you were here? Because none of us knew that that was that pastor's brother, that pastor's wife's brother, when we went there. None of us knew that. Adam had no expectation that he was going to get that blessing when he went there. That's outstanding. Because we are saving these kids from hell. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. Is it heaven or is it hell? Now, the only way that we need to caution ourselves, and it's easy on a step trip because you're there for 4 days and then you're gone. That's always a challenge because you have to connect with kids like this. A lot of times, the armor that they have up in their lives because every adult they've ever known has just thrown them to the curb. The hard part is that we only have 4 days. Usually that takes a long time to build that trust. They don't just latch on to you like somebody would here. You know, you give a kid a high five at this church, they're your best friend forever. You show Drew a tractor, he's your best friend forever, right? There, you know, you try and talk to a kid and they'd rather flip you the middle finger than literally than color a picture. Right? And it's hard to break down those walls. But we're gone in 4 days. What if you are moved? What if you live in that area? There's always the caution that you have to have. In Jude chapter 1, verse 23, it says, and others stay with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, the word here for garment is the Greek word representing the undergarment that would be under your tunic. And this is all talking about in the Bible when you'd have lepers and then you'd have to be very careful with them. And you could not go out and just start touching these people and hanging around these people. And leprosy in the Old Testament was a vile, painful, contagious, horrible disease. And anywhere that the leper went, he had to holler out, unclean, unclean. Yet, God still loved the leper. But he still gave warnings on how to deal with the leper. And when you deal with lost people, when you're in lost areas, you have to have compassion and you have to be compelled to do something, not just sit around, right? But you can never let those two things override your caution. Because there is still always the reality that you could be contaminated by that sin. That's why, At this church, for example, I'm sure there's many reasons, but that's why at this church, for example, we don't have a bar ministry. Don't you think there's lots of people at bars who need to get saved? Why don't Pastor Anderson and I just go there and just hang out? We won't drink. Why don't we just go hang out there? Why don't we go have a casino ministry? Right? We can't go there, right? You can't be caught in with that. Like, Jesus was a friend of sinners. But do you ever see Him in the bar? Do you ever see Him like saying, well, I'm just going to go there because I'm going to win souls? No, you never see that. And He is our template. We see Him in the, like we talked about this morning, we see Him in the temple flipping over the table. We see Him chastising individuals for doing what's wrong. And we see Him using God's Word and living a holy life and having a great testimony to bring people in. We need a soul winner's compassion. We need a soul winner's compulsion. But we need to have caution. This is our job. This is a job of Christians. And I thank the Lord, if this is my last step trip that I ever go on, then I thank the Lord for that He allowed me also, because my first one was Adam's last one. My first one was 2010. So I thank God that on these eight, at least one of those eight was one like this. Right? This is our job. It's the job of every Christian. It's the job of the church. Each and every single person in this room, it is our job to find them, to bring them to Him. Because this is the cause that Jesus came into the world. This is why the local church exists. This is why we exist. This is why we're here. This is the Great Commission. That's why we're here. We can't ever lose focus of that. And if you look at it from a micro level, that's why we have these programs at our church. It's sad sometimes when you see programs, carts running the horse, right? That's why we have VBS. That's why we have step trips, is to see souls saved and fulfilling the Great Commission. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for this time we've had to look into Your Word. We ask that as You continue to let Heritage Baptist Church grow and the kids here mature, we ask that You can continue to allow things like this to take place as long as You see fit. Lord, we thank You for all the opportunities that we've had over this past week. We thank You for this church being so able and willing to allow us to go. And Lord, we ask that more kids can continue to go on these trips and more kids can continue to win souls to You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?